Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to this analyst call and webcast on the GrandVision 2016 half-year results. I am Theo Kieselboom, CEO of GrandVision, and with me here is Paolo De Castro, our CFO. During today's call, I will give a summary of the half-year 2016 and the second quarter 2016 results, and then present some performance highlights of this year so far. I will then hand over to Paolo, who will take you through the segment and financial performance in more detail. After that, we will be happy to answer your questions. Let me begin with the highlights of the half-year 2016 performance, which is shown on page three of the presentation. GrandVision achieved revenue growth of 3.7%, or 6.7% at constant exchange rates. The underlying organic growth in the first half of 2016 was 3.5%. This organic growth also includes new store openings, but was mostly driven by a comparable growth of 2.3%. Acquisitions contributed 3.2% to the total revenue growth. We define organic growth as the growth of revenue excluding acquisitions and at constant exchange rates. Comparable growth is the sales growth of those stores that were open also for the entire previous year, in this case, 2015. At the end of June 2016, GrandVision operated a total of 6,211 stores. This is a net increase of 101 stores since the end of 2015. Adjusted EBITDA grew by 5.3% to 272 million euros, or by 6.5% at constant exchange rates. Excluding the margin dilutive effect of acquisitions, the EBITDA margin expanded by 65 basis points to 16.7%, and including also acquisitions, it increased by 26 basis points to 16.3%. Page four of the presentation shows the highlights of the second quarter 2016. In the second quarter, total revenue grew by 8.4% at constant exchange rates. Organic growth was 5.3%, mostly as the result of a comparable growth of 3.6%. Comparable growth during the quarter benefited from the timing of Easter holiday, which fell into the first quarter this year, and therefore led to less selling days in that quarter and more selling days in the second quarter. In the second quarter, we also saw lower previous year comparables than in the first quarter. We achieved comparable growth in all three segments. The G4 segment recorded 3.2% comparable growth with a consistent performance across all markets. Other Europe showed 2.1% comparable growth, and in the Americas and Asia segment, comparable growth was 9.7%. Second quarter adjusted EBITDA grew to 150 million euros, up from 136 million in the same period last year. Organic adjusted EBITDA grew by 10.7%. The adjusted EBITDA margin in the second quarter increased by 80 basis points to 17.3%. We also achieved adjusted EBITDA growth and margin improvements in all three segments, with an especially strong performance in the G4 segment, where the EBITDA margin increased by 177 basis points during the quarter. The first topic I would now like to highlight is our exclusive brand frames. This also describes one of the reasons for the margin improvement we have seen in the first half of this year. I'm turning to slide five. Our exclusive brands are a key ingredient to our commercial strategy as they increase differentiation, deliver true customer benefits, improve conversion, strengthen customer satisfaction, and create loyalty. Their attractive margins also contribute to profitability. In the first half of 2016, we increased the volume share of our exclusive brand frames by over 10 percentage points to nearly 70%. Although these improvements were achieved in all three segments, the shift to our EBs was the strongest in the G4 segment, both in percentage and in absolute terms. This was achieved through a number of measures. We further improved the exclusive brand products in terms of style and technical features. Our exclusive brands offer our customers high quality, both in terms of design and functionality at attractive prices. The assortment covers all our main customer segments and price points. We strengthened the communication on our exclusive brands through in-store communication, in-store merchandising, and on external platforms such as social media. At the same time, we optimized our assortment of third-party brands. While we recognize that some customers look for international designer brands, we believe that many of our customers are more functionally driven. Consequently, we reduced the number of what we call lower equity brands within our assortment, and this in turn allowed us to further expand the exposure of our exclusive brands. Next to this optimized product portfolio, we focused on training our store staff to well explain the benefits of our exclusive brands to our customers. And last but not least, the incentive systems have been adapted to align everybody's objectives in this area. All these elements have contributed to the progress so far, and we believe that there are still further opportunities in the area of exclusive brands. Another recent development is the latest lens tender, as described on slide 6. Earlier this year, we launched a new lens tender process, which we usually do every 3 years. As always, our focus was not only on price, but also on achieving ongoing improvements in terms of quality and service standards, including the reduction of lead times. This allowing us, in turn, to improve the quality and service we are providing to our customers. The already well-progressed harmonization of our commercial proposition throughout the Grand Vision retail banners has now enabled us to also harmonize and thereby reduce the complexity of the lens assortment, which we purchase throughout the group. Through this harmonization process, the number of lens SKUs has been more than halved. This reduction in complexity offers opportunities to improve both the efficiency and the effectiveness of the lens supply chain, not only for ourselves, but also for our suppliers. Of course, such a streamlined portfolio also leads to purchase cost savings. Next to efficiency gains, the harmonized assortment also provides a consistently optimized lens portfolio across all Grand Vision retail banners. Our customers have access to the widest ranges, the latest technologies, and a full set of upgrade options. These include, for example, blue light protect lens, driver lens, UV protect, polarized lens, and so on. In addition, we are rolling out the proven exclusive brand strategy, now also in the lens category, following the same objectives as in the other categories, providing high-quality products at more affordable prices. I'll move on to slide 7. Apollo Optic in Germany has recently launched its new online presence, including e-commerce functionality. With this, Apollo is the first G4 country to step onto the Grand Vision online channel technology platform. Based on the experiences and customer feedback, this online channel platform and selected features will now be continuously enhanced and further deployed internationally. Although personal interaction with a vision expert remains necessary in optical retailing, for example, to provide eye tests, to fit contact lenses, or to individually adjust prescription spectacles, we are fully aware that customers around the world increasingly prefer to conduct at least parts of their customer journey online. To serve this demand and also to enhance the customer journey with new technology-enabled features, we are establishing an omnichannel customer experience. This omnichannel experience integrates a range of functionalities through the websites of our retail banners with in-store features and services. Apollo Optik in Germany has now combined a nationwide store network with an online store, offering customers a consistent shopping experience in-store and online. The features of Apollo's new online presence include the possibility to purchase part of our product ranges online, from prescription glasses to sunglasses, and soon also contact lenses, with home delivery or to try on in any of our stores. Customers can book appointments in our stores for free eye tests, or for trying products they pre-selected online. More features will be added later in the year. The Hybris SAP-based technology will be fully integrated into the POS and global ERP landscape, which then allows for an international leverage going forward. Overall, we believe this strategy improves our competitiveness in optical retailing, where online currently makes up, for example in Germany, an estimated 3-4% of the market. Through functionalities such as an improved store finder, online eye test booking, and frame pre-selections, we also expect to support the traffic flow to our stores. I would now like to reiterate and confirm our strategic priorities. GrandVision's vision is to provide high quality and at the same time affordable eye care to more and more people around the world. To achieve this, we have established a set of five strategic priorities. These are outlined on page eight. The first priority is the continuous strengthening and deployment of our global capabilities. Customer needs and the key drivers of the optical retail sector are very similar in most markets around the world. Based on this characteristic, we have developed, tested, and are internationally deploying a set of global capabilities which are targeted at better serving our customers in a differentiated way. Another set of global capabilities is targeted at developing group-wide synergies and leveraging skills, resources, and investments, and therefore also our cost base on a global level. The second priority is to always drive comparable growth. As mentioned before, this is the most sustainable and most profitable source of growth. It fully leverages our existing operating cost base. It also proves the strength of our retail banners and retail offering, including our own exclusive product brands in all categories. The third priority is the optimization of our existing store network. This includes targeted store openings, relocations, refurbishments, and also store closures when and where customer traffic patterns have changed. The continuous optimization supports both the revenue growth and the management of the operating cost. The fourth priority is to expand in current markets also through bolt-on acquisitions. The optical retail market is still highly fragmented. A high market share is still held by small chains and single or multi-store independent retailers. GrandVision will continue to grow by acquiring and then integrating these. And finally, the fifth strategic priority is to enter new markets. We have a strong track record in doing this and will continue doing so, when and where the right opportunity presents itself. While we are at any given time pursuing a range of potential opportunities, we have not announced any new market entrances or other material acquisitions in the first half of 2016. This concludes my summary of our strategic priorities, and I'd like to hand over to Paolo De Castro. He will now present more details on our segment performance and give additional financial information.
Thank you, Teo, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would first like to spend a moment on the comparable growth developments in 2016, and this is on slide 10. As mentioned before, comparable growth is very important to our business. It is the most sustainable and profitable source of growth as it leverages our existing operating cost base. In general, the performance on a quarter-by-quarter basis is impacted by the timing of commercial campaigns, which varies by intention, the level of the previous year comparables, as well as the number of selling days, which differ across our business. In the first half of 2016, we achieved 2.3% comparable growth, which is below the level of the previous year, and this mainly due to a softer first quarter. The improvement we saw in the second quarter to 3.6%, this on a sequential basis from 0.9% in the first quarter, is mainly due to the following factors. First, we have started to face easier comparables from prior year in our business. Second, the timing of Easter has had a positive impact on the number of selling days, particularly in our European markets. These benefits were partly reduced by lower sunglass sales in certain parts of Europe due to much weaker weather. And of course, the underlying performance of the business, which I will cover on the following slides. Overall, the 2.3% comparable growth in the first half, taken as a whole, is a better indicator of our actual performance than the comparable growth rates of the first two quarters taken separately. Let me now begin with the segment review for the G4 on slide 11. In the first half of 2016, revenue increased by 2.9% at constant exchange rates with organic growth of 2.4%. Comparable growth came in at 1.8% with an improved performance in the second quarter of 3.2%. During the quarter, all G4 markets showed a consistent performance. The improvement in the second quarter was driven by a good underlying performance, easier comparables, especially in Germany and Austria, and the benefit of additional selling days. The number of our stores increased by 44 to 2,997 during the last 12 months, mainly as a result of store openings and smaller acquisitions, but also some store closings, particularly in the Netherlands, due to the closure of a department store chain where we had store in stores. Adjusted EBITDA in the G4 segment increased by 6.6% at constant exchange rates and 5.9% organically, with an adjusted EBITDA margin expansion of 82 basis points to 21.7%. In the second quarter, adjusted EBITDA growth came in at 12.6% at constant exchange rates, and this with a margin expansion of 177 basis points to 23%. There were several factors contributing to the strong margin performance in the second quarter. First, the already mentioned benefit of a higher exclusive brand share in our framed assortment. We made good progress in the G4, especially in the UK and the Netherlands. Secondly, we had a higher share of prescription glasses in our sales mix. This is also due to the impact of weaker weather leading to lower sunglass sales, which have a lower percentage margin. Finally, we have also continued to benefit from the structural cost-based improvements enabled by our global capabilities, as well as our persistent cost discipline. Turning to slide 12, in the other Europe segment, half-year revenue increased by 2.6% at constant exchange rates with organic growth of 1.7%. Comparable growth was 0.8%. In the second quarter, revenue grew by 4.1% at constant exchange rates and 3.2% organically. As for comparable growth, it reached 2.1%. During the quarter, we saw a mixed result in other Europe. In Eastern Europe, the business continues to outperform and we achieved high single-digit growth. Northern Europe showed a continued improvement. And in Southern Europe, we still saw a weaker performance, even if on an improving trend itself, and this particularly in Italy, as the integration of the two businesses continued to weigh on our performance during Q2. Adjusted EBITDA in the other Europe segment grew by 3.6% at constant exchange rates, and organic adjusted EBITDA increased by 2.6%. The adjusted EBITDA margin increased by 9 basis points to 13.9%. In the second quarter, adjusted EBITDA grew by 4.5% at constant exchange rates and 3.4% organically. And the adjusted EBITDA margin remained constant at 14.9%. And now, moving on to the Americas and Asia segment on slide 13. In the first half of 2016, revenue increased 38% at constant exchange rates, of which 14.6% organically, and it grew by 40.3% at constant exchange rates in the second quarter, of which 17.2% in organic terms. Underlying comparable growth came in at 9.2% in the first half. In the second quarter, comparable growth was 9.7%, with good performances in most markets. Our businesses in Mexico and Turkey showed particularly strong performances, and the business in Russia returned to mid-single-digit growth after a few quarters of decline. The number of stores increased by 239 to 1,427 in the last 12 months, this due to the U.S. acquisition and continued store expansion in the region, particularly in Mexico and Turkey. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 49.4% at constant exchange rates and 49.2% organically. The adjusted EBITDA margin increased by 47 basis points to 4.2%. In the second quarter, adjusted EBITDA grew by 37.7% at constant exchange rates and 29.6% organically, with a margin remaining constant at 5%. I would now like to spend a moment to talk about our Turkish business on slide 14. Let me start by saying that despite recent developments, we believe Turkey is already and will remain an attractive market in the long term. As mentioned, we have seen a strong performance in Turkey year to date with over 20% comparable growth in the first half of this year. Also in Q2, despite some local difficulties, we continue to grow at the same pace. The growth momentum we have had is in part driven by our expansion strategy in the market, especially from the contribution of the stores we opened over the last 2-3 years. Since entering the market in 2007, we have become the market leader in Turkey with approximately 7% share in a still very fragmented market with approximately 85% of independents. Adasum Optic promises expert services with a wide range of quality products that are affordable for everyone, which is obviously completely aligned with Grand Vision's commercial proposition of high-quality eye care at affordable prices. Turkey is a market with a high proportion of sunglass sales. We have also had quite some success with our sunglass campaigns this year. The performance, however, is mostly linked to improvements in business operations. For instance, we have worked on the category and product mix, enhanced product visibility, and significantly improved availability of bestsellers through the implementation of more efficient replenishment processes. As I said before, we remain committed to the market despite the current political and economic situation in the country, and we are continuing to expand. We currently have a store base of 143 stores in 29 cities and are planning to open stores in 7 more cities, meaning that our network will be within reach of 70% of the country's population. On slide 15, you can see our track record of adjusted EBITDA growth and margin expansion. In the first half of 2016, adjusted EBITDA margin increased by 26 basis points to 16.3%, but would have expanded by 65 basis points to 16.7% if we exclude the impact from acquisitions. Again, adjusted EBITDA margin in the second quarter benefited from the positive developments we have seen in the G4 during the quarter, arising from the structural improvements brought on by our global capabilities and complemented by the benefits of our operational costs discipline. Let's now talk about cash flow on slide 16. During the first half year, the improvements we saw in the adjusted EBITDA growth did not translate into similar free cash flow progression, and that was mainly due to the timing of payments. First, last year, we had seen changes in working capital as a result of the go-live of the ERP system in the UK and the Benelux, which positively impacted our credit positions then for a short period of time. Secondly, the timing of tax payments was different this year and adversely impacted the end-of-period working capital positions. As the year progresses, these two negative effects will revert, and we should see the corresponding free cash flow improvements coming through. Our net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio decreased from 1.8 times to at year-end 2015 to 1.7 times at the end of June 2016. And finally, on slide 17, I would like to remind you again of our medium-term financial objectives. We are expecting to deliver annual revenue growth of at least 5% at constant exchange rates. This includes small bolt-on acquisitions, but excludes larger size deals, such as 4Eyes late last year. Of course, this is a medium-term target, and there will always be quarters in which we are above or below the objective. We are also expecting annual adjusted EBITDA growth in the high single digits at constant exchange rates. In terms of the financial structure, we are targeting a net debt EBITDA ratio of maximum 2 times. I should mention that it is comfortably below our covenant of 3.25 times. We expect our strong cash flow generation to enable us to make further acquisitions without significantly altering our capital structure, and this while paying a dividend. As previously communicated, we intend to pay an ordinary dividend annually in line with our medium to long-term financial performance, and expect to increase the dividend per share over time. As a result of this policy, we are targeting a dividend payout ratio of 25 to 50%. As a reminder, the payout ratio in relation to the year 2015 was 33%. And with that, I would like to ask our moderator, Ola, to open the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask the question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause just for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We take the question now from Robert Vos from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I have a few questions. Is it possible to put a number on the extra selling days? And also, is that impact mainly in other Europe? Is that correct? My second question, maybe a bit of flavor on Russia, the improvement there. Is that purely an easier base, or do you also see the underlying trends improving a bit? Then on the tech centers, can you update us on the percentage of spectacles assembled in the tech centers currently? And finally, maybe a bit of an update on the performance of 4Eyes in the US. And related to that, is it fair to assume that dilution from acquisitions, assuming no further deals in the current period, that the dilution will be less in the forthcoming quarters? Thank you.
So, hi Robert, this is Paolo. I'll answer the question on selling days. As you know, we typically do not comment on that, especially because every company will have different ways of calculating it. And given our international spread, this becomes, let's say, quite variable. So we just don't comment on that. And then on Russia, obviously the few quarters of decline have taken their toll on revenues, but we are quite glad to see performance picking up. And as in previous quarters, what I'd like also to mention here is that in terms of profitability, that business has been holding its weight, which is, let's say, a tribute to the work of the let's say, the local team, and also, of course, the benefit of our global capabilities. And if Theo could take the tech center question.
Yes, I'll refer to the tech centers. We, I believe, mentioned in the last call that we were at about 60% of our overall volume that is now being handled in our tech center, mini tech centers, which we have in Latin America. The process is obviously continuing of attaching additional countries to these tech centers. We, as you know, follow the strategy of having a centralized production because we believe it provides much higher quality to the customer and is, of course, also more cost efficient. So we're progressing, we're continuing to progress on that path, and I would say as expected.
All right, and then maybe on 4Eyes. Can you update us?
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course. Sorry, I missed that one. On 4Eyes, also there, absolutely yes, the dilution that we see from acquisitions is coming from that acquisition strongly, as we have also seen in the previous numbers. The integration process also there is progressing to our expectations, and we're seeing an improvement of performance. So we would expect that over time, as you correctly noted, that dilutive effect will decrease.
As a general rule, for acquisitions of that size, of that size, the integration takes between 12 to 18 months. And as Theo mentioned, it is progressing according to our expectations.
All right, thank you.
We take the next question now from Paul Rossington from HSBC. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Good morning, gents. Well done on a good statement today, firstly. One quick question. I apologize, I missed the first couple of minutes of the call, so you may have commented on this already. But just wondering, are you able to split out in the core G4 market the contributions, that better margin from the increase in own label versus the sales mix shift of kind of prescription versus non-prescription, you know, what the weather impact might have been on that margin performance through lower sunglass penetration, for example? Are you able to give any color on that margin performance?
Well, I mean, as we commented earlier, indeed, the margin progression comes from all those factors. We would not specify precisely and mathematically what is the specific contribution of each factor, but all of these have contributed to it. We're very happy, indeed, with the growth of share of our exclusive brands in that assortment, particularly in the higher end of the, let's say, the price ranges. Which means that we are not only let's say, having serving better our customers, but also improving the margins of those businesses. So that's where we'd leave it, Paul.
Okay, no, that's brilliant. Thank you very much.
We take next question from Ben Ozelek from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I actually have two. The first one is basically on your omni-channel approaches. I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you already have online sales integrated into your omni-channel experience in China. What is your experience there? What do you expect of share of online sales now in Germany? And do you expect this approach to have an impact on your pricing? The second question is actually on the UK vote. Could you give us just a quick reminder on what's your sales share in the first half year in the UK, and do you expect any impact coming from the UK vote? Thank you.
Okay, Ben, I'll take the question on the online channel, and Paolo will then answer on the UK situation. Yes, absolutely, that we incubated our online channel platform in China last year on, I would say, the first initial step, and have now brought it to the first G4 market in Germany. In terms of experiences, I would say the relevant experiences we're now expecting to see in the mature market environment of Europe. So China is definitely, in general, a smaller business for us, more an incubation situation. We see a very strong performance, basically, of the omni-channel structure in the store. And that leads me to answering your question on what do we expect in share of online. The way we look at the business, we are not even sure that that is the way we will want to look at it, because we expect that the customer journey should truly be omni-channel, with elements of the customer journey happening online and on the PC or mobile or wherever, and parts of the customer journey happening in store, because as I mentioned, we believe in order to really provide the right quality in optical retailing to the customer, there are steps of the customer journey that are required in the store. Of course, at one point, the transaction will take place, and that transaction can then take place and be finalized online or can be finalized in the store. We will potentially always allocate the sales to a store where the customer is basically anchored and gets the services. So we have not really come to the conclusion if a differentiated online sale is something that we want to look at, and for it's more an integrated omni-channel approach, which is what we're pursuing. We're not pursuing an e-commerce strategy. We're clearly pursuing an omni-channel strategy.
Oh, yes, and then for the share of revenues that the UK represents in our sales, it's below 14%. Let me just maybe take the opportunity to elaborate on what's been happening lately with the UK. As you know, in our business, the vast majority of our costs are local. So our operating cost base is always local. So the only area really where, let's say, the pound devaluation that would impact our cost base would be on COGS, on cost of goods sold. And as you know, our Forex hedging policy, which we've been applying for many years now, is that we hedge 12 months rolling forward. So that the businesses have time to adapt, if so they need, and that's precisely what is happening in the UK and also, of course, for our business. So obviously, we remain committed in the long term to the UK market also.
This is Theo again. I forgot to comment on your question regarding the pricing in terms with omnichannel. At this point, we don't expect that will have an impact on pricing. Again, it's an omni-channel pricing that we will follow and not a differentiated online, offline pricing.
Okay, thank you.
We take the next question now from Craig Abbott from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I guess just one quick follow-up, first of all, on the online questions just previously asked, and then I have maybe two other questions. Are you concerned at all about cannibalization by now with having this omnichannel approach with Apollo? Secondly, I just wondered if you, we know you don't provide a precise guidance for any given, you give your midterm targets, but I just wondered if you could give us any indications looking into the second half, if there are any factors you think we should bear in mind there. And my third question is, it's an old topic, but I want to address it again because there are still concerns out there that as a result of the reimbursement changes implemented over the last 2 years in France, that the market may face a significant decline in volumes, particularly in 2017. I just wondered if your views on that. And my final question is regarding the lens supplier tender recently completed. Were there any changes in the portfolio of suppliers there? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions, Craig. Regarding your omnichannel question, no, we're not worried about cannibalization because, again, it's not a multi-channel we're pursuing. We're pursuing an omnichannel, and it's fully integrated with the customer journey we're seeing in stores. So it is a additional enhancement of the customer journey completely linked with what's going on in the store. As I mentioned, you can pre-select your frames online, and then you go to a store and try it on. And at the end, regardless of where you do the sales, we expect to have a better coverage of the market and also addressing the needs of the customer that are shifting away from, on certain things, away from the stores. So we believe that this is an additive effect and not a cannibalizing effect.
Hi, Craig. So on your second half question, yeah, we do not comment on the second half. We have, you've heard us again reiterate our medium-term objectives. We remain true to those, and that's the only thing I would say there. As for France, obviously the topic keeps coming back, and we do not see reasons that would make us fear that there would be volume declines in France. This these threats in terms of the reductions of reimbursement levels, et cetera, have been there for many, many years. In fact, they were reinstated in 2015. We haven't seen anything, any changes in our business due to that. So, again, that's our position on it. Of course, we favor deregulation. And because we believe that that is better for the consumer, and obviously even, let's say, plays to our competitive advantages of being able to provide high quality at affordable prices where others may not be able to.
Okay.
Your final question on the lens tender, we don't see major shifts in the supplier portfolio after that.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask the question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We take next question from Joost van Beek from Theodor Gillissen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. A couple of questions left. To start on the Dutch market, I understand first half has performed quite well. Two questions related to that. Firstly, retail environment has been quite difficult. Like V&D and et cetera going bust. Does this give you the opportunity to renegotiate rent because of stronger position towards the owners of property? And secondly, we also read about increasing competition, for instance, Specsavers eyeing to roll out more stores. Do you see that happening in the market, also in the sense of price environment? And second question relates to Italy. I guess you mentioned somewhat lower growth, integration with Optissimo. Can you update on how that has performed and how the market is given the let's say, relatively weak micro environment in Italy.
Maybe starting off with your question on the Netherlands, just in general, what we do, of course, not only the Netherlands but internationally, is we always very strongly look at our rental portfolio, and I think we've mentioned previously that the duration of our rents is not that long. Basically, we have options to renegotiate, and we're taking opportunity of that, of course, in all markets. And I think there's been published numbers on the retail cost environment in the Netherlands, which shows a decrease in general in retail pricing. And that is something, of course, that we are very focused on capturing as we renegotiate stores as the leases come up in the Netherlands, as everywhere else as well.
Let me complement that with some hard numbers. 86% of our lease portfolio is for less than 5 years. We continuously renegotiate the leases, even if they're not up due for renegotiation. That's part of the business model. And if you look at our rental costs as percent of revenue, you will see that they continuously and sustainably continue to reduce. So the Netherlands is no different.
Yes. Thank you, Paul, for that. On the competitive environment, we always embrace high competitive environments, because looking at our overall price positioning, high quality, affordable prices, this is something that we believe that we are well positioned in. I wouldn't want to comment on our competition and what they're doing. We observe that as well as you do. But we're not worried about competition. We like competition. It gives more attention to the category, and it actually usually plays to the more efficient formats, which is where we position our formats in general. On the question in Italy, as we're aware, end of 14, we did the acquisition of the Randazzo Group, Optissimo, which was a very special situation, I would say, because it wasn't really an acquisition. It was then a merger of two companies that were similarly sized, Avanzi and Randazzo, under the brand of Optissimo. So we're going through a very complete merger process, with affecting lately, the restructuring and close down of the former headquarters of Randazzo, a branding exercise to join the brands together. So it's a fairly complex integration and merger process, which with all the to-be-expected post-merger steps, including a joint team, combining the systems, and so forth and so on. This merger process has, I would say for us, not surprisingly impacted the performance and the focus of the business going forward. But as mentioned, we're progressing there also, as we would expect, and we're seeing an improving trend in the Italian market. We like to look at our performance in the market, and we see that we are, performing to the level of what we would expect in Italy. And again, also markets under pressure show us that our optical retailing is more resilient against that and is not that exposed to what we might see in other retail environments.
Okay. Maybe then one other question related to your further expansion policy. You also clearly mentioned new markets, but I can also understand that in quite some markets where you are already present, that you it's quite relevant to increase market share through acquisition. How do you make a sort of trade-off between entering new markets versus doing acquisitions in markets where you have a relatively small market share?
I would say, fortunately, so far we've not seen our position to need to trade that off. Looking at our business performance and the cash flow generation, we feel so far well equipped to follow up on all opportunities. As we've mentioned, we are very careful and very prudent on these opportunities. As mentioned, we're always looking at a number at any given time, but we only move if the opportunity is right and, of course, the price is also right. So far, we've not seen ourselves in a position to make a decision of either or. if we have good opportunities in both situations, which means expanding market share in existing markets and also having the opportunity to go somewhere new where we believe it's attractive to go, then we would pursue both things. But we're not there for entering new markets for the sake of entering new markets. It has to be a valid business proposition and the right entry, and we're not there to make acquisitions for the sake of making acquisitions. Also there, it has to be adding value to our overall situation. The broad coverage we have internationally makes us feel fairly comfortable that there's always happening, there will always be something happening somewhere, and we're not forced to move in a specific market at a specific time.
And in each of our markets, the local management team has a duty to oversee acquisition funnels. And of course, we track those acquisition funnels also more centrally. So we are always aware and always in contact with potential targets. And these things happen when they happen. We're never desperate for an acquisition.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
We take next question now from Xander van Oort from Kampen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. A couple of questions left from my side. First of all, on the Lens tender, I was wondering maybe you can elaborate a bit whether the new contract is better on financial conditions or that the upside is mostly in the reduced complexity in the supply chain within the organization. And maybe you can also elaborate when the financial impact will become visible in the numbers. Are these already in the half-year numbers, or is it still something which become visible only as of the second half this year? Then a second question on the selling day impact. Maybe you can share your views to what extent there will be an impact in the second half of this year. And a third question has to do with the sunglass sales, which of course positively impacted margins, especially in G4. But I must say the top line impact is not really visible or hardly visible. So I was just wondering, maybe you can give a bit of insight into the proportion of sunglass sales as percentage of the total sales or the regional sales to help us better understand in the dynamics in this specific segment. And then the final question, the Four Eyes integration, maybe a question or are we exactly in the integration process? Of course, you have aligned the assortment already in an earlier stage. Probably it's today all about the ERP system integration. And so I was just wondering what's on the menu for the next couple of quarters, as it still takes probably a few quarters before this whole integration is done. Thank you.
So I'll answer first, Paolo here, your question on sunglasses. Well, in fact, from a total brand vision perspective, the margin, the percentage of sales of sunglasses and therefore the margin derived from it, was not significant. That change quarter on quarter from the prior year was not a real change. It was more prevalent in certain geographies in Europe. That is true. That's why I commented in certain segments only. Overall, our total share of sunglasses is, as we've said before, in line with the global market.
On your other questions, the Lens tender, I would say the answer to the question is both. as I mentioned, the very strong reduction in complexity that we're moving forward on has benefits in terms of efficiency of the supply chain for us and for the supplier, and these efficiency gains then also translate in purchasing cost benefits as we would expect them to. So both, clearly. As we mentioned, we initiated this process earlier this year, so it's been running through, I would say, the first two quarters of the year. Some small benefits are being realized, and more benefits are expected to come. On the Four Eyes question, very, very good question, of course, because we've mentioned that we've moved very quickly on supply chain issues. I would say we move very quickly in an acquisition process like that on obviously the low-hanging fruit, so the things that are easy and fast to do. Then there's a lot of fruits higher in the tree that are a little bit harder to grab, which are also very much connected to introducing our commercial proposition that we use throughout our organization and our groups also to the U.S. that has a lot to do with training of people, adapting the ways of work, and that is where the process then also takes time. It's also marketing communication to the customers, it's brand positioning, there's a lot of additional work to be done in the stores in terms of merchandising and also in terms of refits to some extent. So that's where things then take time. Building the team, the IT platforms to support these things take time. So the low-hanging fruit we've grabbed as we expected to, and we see also that impact coming through the business, but there's still a lot of work to be done until we would say that this organization is now on the level that we would expect it and as other organizations within Grand Vision are. And that will take us, as Paolo mentioned, probably another 12 months.
Okay, and then maybe this question on the selling day impact in the second half, is there any material impact we should already take into account when looking into the second half?
We do not comment on the impact of selling days going as a forward-looking statement, so we don't comment on that.
Okay, yes, great, thank you.
We take the last question now from Firmino Morgado from W4L. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Just three quick questions. I mean, the first one is on the comparable growth of 3.6%. As Paolo mentioned, this can be impacted by special campaigns. I just wanted to understand if there was any significant special campaign that boosted this 3.6, or by the contrary, was just business as normal. On the omni-channel, also second question. I mean, I understood that you're doing in Germany. Are you planning then to have like a single brand or single banner, and to roll out to other markets, as say Mrs. Speck or MyOptik, are doing? Or is going to be done, market by market and with the same banner that you use in the different markets? And I mean, our last question in terms of the new lens tender. Wasn't also clear. I mean, are you disclosing with whom did you do the tender or won the tender? Was one of the big three lens manufacturers or was outside or is more than one? Just if you could give a bit more disclosure in terms of this tender.
Okay, thank you for those questions. On your first question, no, there was no special campaign. What we always comment on is that quarter to quarter, of course, campaign timing has impacts on quarter-to-quarter numbers. We, of course, never follow the exact same pattern of campaigning for obvious reasons, but there's not been a special campaign. It's been the to-be-expected movements we have seen, we see, and we will see in the future. On your omnichannel point, again, I'd like to very much stress the approach of the omnichannel. So if you look at Germany, there's not a new online banner, because that again would be a multi-channel approach. It is an enhancement of the customer journey in our existing retail banners. So under apollooptic.de, you now have the enhanced Apollo Optic online presence, which is necessarily integrated with the store platform, because only then it really works. In the group, we have one pure play banner, if I may say so, which is a lens store in the UK, which is a contact lens pure play e-commerce player, which we are very satisfied with that, and we will look at how we potentially continue with that. But in general, our omnichannel is integrated with the local banners to provide an omnichannel experience, not a standalone banner. And then the lens tender, also due to our strong international presence, do not end up with one supply partner on lenses. So we have a portfolio of lens tender of partners in this portfolio, which also for other reasons makes a lot of sense from our perspective. So we have a collection of well-known partners there, which are very similar to the ones that we've had already in the past.
Thank you.
It appears there is no further questions, and I would like to turn the conference back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your interest in participating in our call today. Thank you very much for your questions, and we're looking forward to seeing and talking to you at the next occasion. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.